Welcome to the Valley Outdoor Show, and we are excited to have you guys with us. We're going to have a great show today. We've got Don in the house with us.
I'm back.
Loving it. Ava, you're here.
I'm always here.
Guess what? We don't get to make fun of Don anymore.
No, we don't.
That's really
got to be nice today.
That's a sad thing. But we do have Mr. Mark Schutz to be joining us. We're going to talk a little ice fishing, because that's what the hard water things you do in the hard water,
that's
right?
What's going on.
Exactly right. That and curling, Don. We'll leave that to the Olympics, though.
I can tell you about the first couple games if you want to know.
Well, that and more when we return with more Valley Outdoors.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Donald, good to see you.
Yes, it's good to be
Ava.
Back.
We're all here.
Yeah.
Full house.
Full house. Full house.
I spent just about a whole week at the SHOT Show, and I had a couple of Coronas out there on Thursday and came home with.
Oh.
Oh,
came
no.
Home, yeah. You came home with the gunkus.
I did.
Oh, that's
but
not
you
good.
Know what? I was very fortunate. I got over it very quickly.
Good.
And good all's good.
You.
So I'm glad to be back.
Now your immune system is like super powered.
Well, that's what they kind of were telling me. I hope that's true.
Well,
I'm not the first one. You know, when you go to a convention like that, what are the odds? There's probably 20,000 people there, plus you're on, an airplane both ways,
yep.
Of course.
Masked up. And
everybody was supposed to be masked, but I will say there was a fair share that said, I'm not wearing a mask, so.
But again.
But it was a good week and a good trip, and I enjoyed myself immensely.
Good. Well, last week I got to go ice fishing. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. But one of the things I thought was appropriate for the moment we're in, ice fishing at its peak right now. People are
right. Getting
out. The ice is safe to drive on. You can go out and enjoy anytime, anywhere you want to go.
All over the Midwest.
Right now. Exactly. And one of the things that I found that we encountered was looking at minnow size and looking at action we're imparting on those same minnows. But it also holds true whether you're talking fresh open water as well. So a lot of times the bigger baits aren't the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If it's leeches, those big monster leeches aren't necessarily the ticket. And you are better off with the smaller ones because they are in a negative bite situation. And sometimes it's better, you're using a bobber and a leech or a leech live bait rig. So a lot of cases, it may not be the biggest bait that works. So realize that if you're not catching fish, try downsizing if you've got some things that are just don't seem to be playing along the right way. That was one big thing. Where you hook the bait, whether it's a leech, if you hook it in normally by the sucker, maybe you try to get it, hook it right underneath the back. That's also a possibility. So it's going to be, if you're just sitting, it'll swim flat. Or if you're trolling slow speed, you'll have a double tail. It's like a hook it wacky style, like in a plastic worm. So the real point really comes down to let the fish tell you what they want. If they're not liking what you're putting out there and you've got a couple different baits to throw, try something different. And ice fishing is no different, whether it's a lot of action or not. And I'll be talking to Mark about that when he comes on the show. But we've got to really let the fish do the talking, and all too often they're talking, but we're not listening.
Sure.
And that's one of the biggest issues. And really being open to changing instead of just saying, well, they're just not biting tonight or today, that's a big thing. You got
to
keep it.
You got to be willing to change it up.
You have to be willing to change it up. No question about it. So that's kind of my take for the tip of the week. And it's a personal experience that I've incorporated. So you like that, Don?
Yes.
Yeah. I was on the ice.
I wasn't.
Get the chance to do it very often.
No.
No. So things that make you go, if anybody's ever watched some of the boar hunting that they do in Europe, that kind of thing, there are some interesting hunts that they have. They do drives, they do stand hunts, they do a lot of different things, but they do a lot of driving. And this last week, a hunter had died from a fatal bite from a boar that he shot. In Italy last week, a gentleman was attacked by a wild boar. He's just shot, bit him in the leg, and severed his femoral artery.
Yeah.
And this particular gentleman, 36 years old, was hunting with his dad in the Tuscan woods, and it reported that he shot the animal. It fell. He approached the injured boar. It quickly got up and charged him. The father, who was treated for shock at the scene, reportedly let out a desperate cry for help. Cry for help was it, and then there was nothing more. According to that, the emergency crews could not save his son, which is an unfortunate scenario. Hunting wild boar in the area is a popular pastime and sport, and it's a long list of their favorite wild boar dishes that follow up with that as well, including pappardelle pasta with boar sauce, wild boar stew, and Italy's main agriculture lobbyist, Coldretti, estimates there are over 2 million wild boar in Italy.
You know, I think it's getting to be more popular to hunt wild boar. One of the manufacturers I was talking to literally creates or makes carbon fiber tripods that he kept referring to it for hog. And I thought it was an acronym for something. I said, what do you mean hog? He goes, for hog hunting. I go, oh, you didn't say it that way. Well, so it's a, even in California, I saw on the news here the other day, they got a problem with...
they're invasive, Don.
They're in town.
They are
people's
terrible.
Backyards, and they're big. They were these look like 250-pound...
They're bad news.
Yep.
And they tear up everything, and they... spawn. They listen to me. I'm thinking fish.
Yeah. They make many
but
little
yeah,
pigs.
They make babies
they
like rabbits.
They breed like
rabbits, literally.
Right.
And when that goes on, and you do not have any predator that's going to be dealing with, because there's not many predators that are going to take that thing down. So you got to figure out a way to do it. And mass netting and mass caging is one of those things where it is a problem of epic proportion, similar to that of the bighead carp, which are trying to get under control, but same exact scenario, and I don't know how you can get into it.
Aren't they aggressive, too?
Oh, my.
They bit the guy, so yeah.
Yeah, they are very aggressive.
Well, he got shots.
But still, normally most of them would run away, but they...
My son lived in Georgia for a few years, and he has a friend down there that literally goes out and hunts hogs and captures them with lassoing them. By hand.
Okay. You can't fix that, can you, Ava?
That's amazing.
Yep, that is. Speaking of amazing, we're going to be right back. Amazing, we got to take a break, and Mark Schutz will be joining us shortly. Hang tight. As always, we'd like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Absolutely.
He does a better job than me. He does a better job than me.
Who does? Don?
The Valley Outdoors.
It's got to be the
Valley,
you know,
Outdoors.
If I say it enough, it's like the Ohio State.
Yeah, but he says it with such
emphasis on the right syllable. That's Don.
Right.
He's got her nailed down. It's perfect. And besides, there's a lot of cool stuff on the Valley Outdoors. Like links and the maps and all the cool stuff that go on there. So,
and more to come. We're going to be talking about our fishing trip this coming summer. So you're going to want to
stay tuned for that. That's going to be good.
Working on that.
The other one was a success last year, and we went to
Ashkenham Lodge up at Namekan. Well, it's on the Ash River, but right, from the split, there you can...
Yep, you can go to Namekan or Cab.
Or
we caught a bunch of fish on the Cab last year. So that'll be a fun trip. And more opportunities, as I understand, possibly this
year.
That's
what we're hoping for, and we're going to invite you to come along.
Very
Stay
cool.
tuned.
That's going to be fun. Speaking of inviting to come along, I was invited to come along and go fishing with our next guest, Mr. Mark Schutz. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you doing, Eric?
Doing well.
We had a good time.
Doing well. Yeah, we went out and ventured out onto Lake Minnetonka, and my girlfriend and I went out with Mark and got to park it and eat some Twizzlers and catch some fish.
You made a date out of this, huh?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, I didn't say why not. You didn't clarify earlier.
Oh, a nice warm ice house and some electronics to watch and a big screen TV. Of course, we were watching. I'm watching the screen too intently. I get locked into that mode. Like I'm watching in my boat, you know, vertical jigging. You're watching to make sure you don't miss any fish. So I'm locked into the flasher. And then I'm like watching. I'm like, okay, just get it, lift it a little higher. Here we go. Oh, must be out of the cone. It's not orange. I got to move it over. Okay, let's drop it down to one that's. I mean, it's. You get intense in that.
Yeah, we were watching crappies all evening.
They just weren't too much in the mood at the point.
Yeah, we had a big cold front come through that night, and the ice house was still very warm, but the fish were moving a little slower. You could see them down there really well with the hummingbird, but they were moving kind of slow that night.
Yeah, they weren't too aggressive. But, you know, Don, when it comes to the fishing, and, you know, one of the tips that we had this week was talking about, you know, changing up minnow sizes and hooking positions and trying to see what's going to make that the fish go. And what I find interesting is in the ice fishing realm, everybody talks about jigging and, you know, make sure you jig it at the right cadence. In this particular case, just letting it sit motionless was the most effective when fish go negative. But Mark, it varies quite a bit, doesn't it, Mark, between daytime and nighttime and days?
It does. Yep, and it varies day to day, too, based on the weather conditions. One day you might have crappies that we're looking at swim right to the bait and grab it, and other days they're super slow. And the day you happened to be there, they were going really slow, and the presentation that was working the best was just dead-sticking a minnow. And I actually found out the next day that dead-sticking a minnow head was working best. And what I mean by dead-sticking is just letting it sit there and not moving it at all. And that seemed to be kind of the key to catching those fish.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to, as we talked about in our intro, we're looking at smaller minnows, and when you put that head on it, it's just enough to give it some scent and make a reaction, because they're not looking at having, let's say, the whole smorgasbord or the whole prime rib. They're just looking at having the sampler plate, and that was a big difference. But it's, you know, it's so nice when you go out, you've got a nice warm shack, and, you know, you've got all the amenities. It's really pretty darn awesome, I got to admit.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who ask me, you know, about guide trips on Minnetonka and, you know, what I'm doing out there to guide and stuff like that. And a lot of people ask if it's cold out or if it's cold in there. And I basically tell them, you just dress like you're going to get in your car, or you dress like you're going to go in your house. Once you're inside the ice house, it's 70 to 80 degrees most of the time. And a lot of times you have to turn down the heat. And everything's provided for you. The holes are all drilled and got the big screen TV on and maybe a little music in the background and comfortable chairs, and you just make yourself comfortable. You can even eat if you like, or
dancing
bring your
in
girlfriend
the streets.
Bring your girlfriend, bring your family, bring your friends or corporate friends. All's good.
No, it's a good time. And one of the things, Mark, that's really has evolved is that the ice house itself, you know, you look at ice castles, you look at the portables for the hardcore people that are out there. Hey, I'm going to drill 14 million holes, I'm going to move, or they're just sitting out on their 4x4, their ATV, and doing the ice power fishing with the auger, you know, and drilling a bunch of holes and trying to work along a brake line or whatever. But that's really what's changed a lot and made it effective for a lot of people. And it addresses what kind of fishing you want to do. You want to kick back and relax and enjoy the the inside and socialize, they have the capability to do it.
Yeah, it's a great time to be out there socializing with your buddies or whoever you want to bring out there, really. A lot of people can't believe how comfortable it is in the newer houses that we have.
And, no, it's
I think that's really changed a lot.
So the bite, is it going to pick up as it goes along here, Mark?
I think since you've been there, it's already picked up.
Yeah, and, I knew that. I figures.
It's always next week or last week.
Should have been here yesterday and free beer tomorrow, right, Don?
Yep.
That's exactly how it goes.
That's never happened to me.
Yeah, we had some guys from Florida in there the other night, and they had never been on ice before, and they were having a blast inside.
If they haven't been on ice, it has to be a little disconcerting when you drive down the launch ramp that you would normally launch your boat on, and you're actually driving out onto the ice at that point. I mean, it's got to be, I've done it my whole life, but a lot of guys have to be a little bit, concerned about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had different people. The second they drive on the ice, they're all scared. They're all worried. They got their windows down. They got their seatbelts off, and they're all ready to jump out. And a lot of times the first ice crack they hear, they're ready to roll.
It can be a bit disconcerting, though, I will say that. If you've ever been out on the ice and you hear that boom going on.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I've driven out on the ice and had my driver door open.
Right.
Not going to lie.
No, it's all good. Yeah. Well, Mark, where can somebody get a hold of you if they want to jump out and do a little ice fishing with you?
They can go to Facebook on Mark Schutz, Schutz Fishing Guide Service, and you can find me easily on Facebook there. And I also guide in the summertime a lot on Mille Lacs Lake for smallmouth and walleyes, and I guide also in the summertime on Minnetonka, too, for largemouth, walleyes, crappies, everything. So
we'll have you on our website too, so you can click to thevalleyoutdoors.com and get to Mark through our website at the same time. So that'll work good. Appreciate the time, Mark. Go get some more crappies. And again, thank you for the time last week. It was awesome. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you too, Eric. And it was great having you out there, buddy.
All right, man. You be good. Go get some fish, would you?
All right. Thank you so much, Eric.
Stay warm.
Yep, thanks, guys.
You bet.
Bye now.
And we will be back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
I love talking to Mark. He's just such a normal,
pretty laid back.
He is a normal, laid back, good guy. But boy, he catches fish.
Yeah. Well.
His going out on Mille Lacs with him, smallmouth fishing is fun. He came down to the river and we showed him a couple things in the river when it was more towards Thanksgiving time frame, and we had a blast. So a lot of fun. Speaking of catching fish, Don.
Yes.
Story. Dateline, Washington.
Washington
State. Catch fish, earn money.
Okay,
I like that.
Explain that.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It was that simple for an angler who pocketed $61,000 during the summer of 2021. Now, he was not tournament fishing. He was not in any sort of contest. He didn't win it by doing a drawing. He caught fish from the Columbia and Snake Rivers.
How did he do that?
He, along with hundreds of anglers in Washington and Oregon, participated in the ongoing program funded by the Bonneville Power Administration for the Bonneville Dam area that pays anglers a bounty on northern pike minnow, a native species that's known for the voracious appetite for salmon and steelhead smolt.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Method to the madness. In order to earn $61,000, which is the most someone earned through the program in 2021, the leading angler, who wishes to remain anonymous, removed 7,185 pike minnow, including 7 tagged fish, while his wife picked up another 1,700.
How did he do this? Does it say?
Yeah, just bear with me.
Okay, well.
They were paid $5 for each fish, the first 25 fish, over 9 inches.
$5 per fish.
Yep, over 9 inches. That's the first 25. $6 each for 26 to 200. $8 for every fish after that. $8 per fish after that.
Wow.
Tagged fish were worth $500, and he caught 7 tagged fish. According to the BPA, bounties will be increased for 2022, which will run from May 1st through the end of September. I'm thinking I'm liking this deal.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm in. Payment for the angler's first fish over 25 fish over 9 inches will be bumped to $6 per fish. Fish 26 through 200 pay $8. Any fish over that, they earn $10 apiece. And reimbursement for tagged minnow will remain at $500. Anglers will receive $10 just for registering for the program. Participating anglers are required to register daily at state fish and wildlife agency operated check stations. There's no limit in how many fish they can submit for payment.
Do they say how he was catching that many fish? Can you net them?
Well, he's going to be fishing for them, angling for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hook and line.
Yeah. It's just crazy. So the story goes, they doled out $700,000 to anglers in 2020. Fewer fish turned into check stations that year, with 89,600 pike minnows in 21 compared to 103,000 in 2020. Department of Fish and Wildlife said that the river conditions at the mouth of the Yakima River near the Tri-Cities wasn't conducive to producing fish in May and June because of high concentrations of debris. And they estimate 40% reduction in predation on young salmon and steelhead compared to before the bounty program. The goal is to spur removal of 10 to 20% of the 9-inch or larger pike minnow from the watershed. And he said anglers removed an estimated 11.3%. And
that's it?
They cashed in.
There's still 90% there.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like a losing battle.
Not if you're going to make money at it, it's not.
Well, I mean.
I say winning every time.
For the angler.
Yeah. Well,
wow. 61,000.
And again, 10 to 20% is their goal, and they got 11.3%. They did get to that goal, and it definitely is going to cut down on predation on those fish.
Yeah.
And they definitely like the fish to eat.
Well, that's a big body of water, too.
It is.
The Columbia River.
Yep, no question about it. Big story, Don. We're talking. We haven't had this ability to have this kind of a broad spectrum analysis of the deer buck harvest. So I thought it was interesting that we have a national buck harvest tally.
Okay.
National buck harvest, highest this century.
Wow.
Deer hunters in the United States harvested an estimated 6.3 million white-tailed deer 2021 hunting season, the most since 2011. That's the most, that's reporting from the National Deer Associations. And they said that the harvest of both antlered bucks and antlerless deer were up over the 2019 season, but estimated buck harvest of 3,041,000 was the most in 21 years. They saw the highest harvest in the new century. Amazingly, we estimated we set another new record for the percentage of bucks that were 3.5 years old or older. So more mature bucks were being taken, much fewer yearling bucks, and killing them as mature deer. But this doesn't mean fewer bucks harvested overall. They're killing older bucks and more than ever. And it's a real steady climb with 3.5-year-old bucks, which I thought was an interesting scenario. And the result of declining pressure nationwide on yearling bucks, So 26% in the 2020 harvest was yearlings. So I think people are thinking more so of, let's let those grow. Let's make sure that they're able to continue and grow to something that's worth harvesting. So I thought that was pretty amazing, a good number.
Well, that's positive, I think, for the hunters out there, if they can, you know.
Yeah. Some of the
better chances of getting a deer.
I
wonder if it'll slow down this next year now.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
A couple of facts that were interesting. 65% of the deer taken in the 2021 season were killed with a firearm, compared to 26% with archery and 9% with muzzleloader, which is good.
Yeah.
Texas had the highest total buck harvest of any state with 449,000. Alabama had the greatest increase in buck harvest in previous season of any state, climbing more than 27,000. Pennsylvania had the highest buck harvest in Northeast, 174. And Michigan killed the most in the Midwest at 219,387. So there you go. What do you think of that, Don?
Yeah, I wonder where did Wisconsin come in that? They're usually right up there, I would think, with Michigan. Probably way more so than Minnesota.
Delaware bumped their harvest by 57% for bucks. That's a crazy increase in number.
Right.
And they took over top spot of buck harvest per square mile at 3.9, which is amazing. Mississippi killed the most bucks per 100 hunters at 74.
Wow. That's
big success rate. So that was really cool. Good numbers and a real look, 30,000 foot view of what we haven't been able to see. So good news for the hunting and for that population. Well, speaking of hunting and ending our hunting conversation, we're going to end it. This is the Valley Outdoors. I'm glad you guys were joining us this week. For Don, Ava, and myself, Eric, we are out.